Are you an entrepreneur that would like to quickly free up and create more cash flow and lasting wealth? Welcome to the Chris Miles Money Show. Chris Miles is a cash flow expert and the financial advocate for the entrepreneur. Chris will teach you how to create more freedom and more prosperity right now, not about saving 25 to 40 years from now. It's all about creating wealth and prosperity today. He's been featured on U.S. News, CNN Money, Bankrate.com, interviewed internationally on TV and radio, and has a high reputation for getting his clients fast, life-altering financial results with his company, Money Ripples. Learn more at MoneyRipples.com. Now, here's your host, Chris Miles.
Hello, my fellow Ripplers. This is Chris Miles, cash flow expert and anti-financial advisor. Welcome you again today for a great show, because this show is for you. This is about creating a ripple effect in your life of freedom and prosperity. So you work because you want to, not because you have to. This is about helping you create cash flow and freedom today. Hey, also, as a reminder, check out our website, moneyripples.com. There's a great ebook on there called Beyond Rice and Beans, 7 Secrets to Free Up Cash Today, if you're looking for ways to free up cash flow now. To the tune of the average for my average client, $34,000, now creeping on to $35,000 a year. So check it out. You can get that for free on moneyripples.com. So today I want to use this opportunity to talk about a topic that I get from questions I get from people all the time, and I love being face to face with people because I get questions asked often. And one that's often asked, especially when they know that I deal with life insurance, you know, and we've already talked about whole life and things like that before too, but they ask about universal life insurance. They say, "Well, hey, what do you think about this?" Because there's a lot of common misconceptions. They think that this is kind of like whole life, and it really isn't. In fact, universal life isn't totally, even though it can be, sort of. It's kind of like permanent insurance, but it's not. And there was an article in the Wall Street Journal recently that said that basically, like, especially the traditional whole life, traditional universal life policies from like the 80s and 90s are now blowing up. They're basically failing right now. That there's people in their 80s and 90s having to pay, you know, sometimes thousands or tens of thousands of dollars per year to try to keep them going, because they aren't making the returns they thought. And so I want to talk about this because whether you have those old, you know, traditional ones from the 80s and 90s, or you've even bought one more recently like the indexed universal life, or even worse, variable universal life, I want to address those because that is where there's some danger. Now, to take you back, as a financial advisor, I started out selling universal life policies. I actually started out selling variable universal life because it was right after the 90s. Everybody was loving the stock market returns, although they were starting to hate it after Y2K. But that was one of the big things we were selling is, hey, look at the returns and look what you can do. It's like buy term and invest the difference all in one. Well, those weren't working out well, especially after Y2K. And so after that recession, I was one of the early adopters of universal life or indexed universal life, where you get some of the ups of the market up to a cap, usually like 10%, but you get none of the down market. So usually you'll get like at least a minimum of like 1% usually, right? And so we'd show that, say, hey, you'd have more money than you would have in the last 10 years from 95 to 2005. You'd be better off. And I actually sold indexed universal life for a couple years. And then, you know, 2006, I stopped because I realized that the more I studied and learned about it, and it was so much so because I had people always asking me questions about how they worked. By the way, you know, there's a problem if financial advisors are having a hard time understanding it and they have to ask you how they work. Because if they're having a hard time understanding it, don't you think you'd have a hard time too? So anyways, I started to see that they didn't always work, that you have to have the perfect marketing conditions to make it work. And it's not like they're horrible. I've seen some with clients where I'm like, you know, let's leave this one alone. I think it's great. Maybe we minimum fund it instead, or we fund it this many dollars. Either we fund it more, or we fund it less, or we just keep it the same. You know, we kind of determine that. But there's been times where, you know, and a good chunk of the time where I've realized, especially with the way I structure whole life, you can do the same thing as universal life with the same flexibility, but get guaranteed returns. The guarantee is way better. In fact, when you compare the guarantees, and this is what poked holes in it for me in 2006, I started to see the guarantees of what you could do with whole life versus universal. And I realized, like, man, universal can't hold a candle, because if the market doesn't go perfectly right, then, you know, then this thing blows up. And that's what this article in Wall Street Journal was talking about with other clients, you know, people that have bought these older universal life policies, because the original universal life policies were based on interest rates. They became popular in the 80s, especially with, you know, companies like A.L. Williams, where they were saying, hey, buy term, invest the difference in one vehicle rather than trying to get two separate. And so they started pitching these big time because interest rates were higher in the 1980s and 90s. But then when we started entering the 2000s, the interest rates kept dropping. You know, and especially after the last recession, right? Oh my goodness, like they got so low that they had to, you know, put a bottom cap. You know, they had to put a bottom floor on these policies of like 4%. Well, the problem is when they're only doing 4%, and see, understand that universal life is basically term insurance. It's term insurance that renews every single year. So when all of a sudden, you know, the next year happens, your term insurance premiums go up a little higher, and then the costs go up a little more, a little more. See, with whole life, the weakness that people see with whole life is that in the beginning, especially those first few years, all your insurance costs are up front. But then they drastically decrease over the third plus years, and so it becomes almost negligible. But you pay a lot of costs up front. So in those first few years, universal life usually looks better. Unless you structure whole life like the way I do, where you have to use a little bit of art form and get creative with it. And then you can actually make it look just as good, if not better, than universal life if you do it right. Unfortunately, most of the agents don't do it that way because they're trained by insurance companies not to do it that way. And I'll tell you, it's funny because universal life, even today, like you have to really keep yourself separate as a financial advisor because you get pitched universal life all the time. I get emails, seriously, multiple times a week from the companies I even write with that say, hey, our universal life product is awesome. Check this out. Look at the rates and this and this and this. You got to ask yourself, why would an insurance company be pitching hard to their financial advisors certain things? Why would they want them to sell a certain product? Why do they pitch term insurance so much? I'll tell you why. Because term insurance, like any kind of term insurance, rarely pays out. Rarely pays out. Most companies, usually it's only like 0.5% to 2% of their policies ever pay out for term insurance. Universal life is very similar because they know that the costs go up. Yeah, in the beginning it's great. They save some money and this and that. But if it doesn't perform just right, the next thing you know, you pay more for universal life than you would for even whole life, a lot more. And so, of course, the costs are better for them. And by the way, insurance, I hear insurance agents say this all the time. They'll say, oh, whole life is horrible. These are especially the people that don't like whole life. And by the way, I was one of these people, so I get it. They'd say, oh, whole life's horrible. The only reason that agents even sell whole life is to get paid more in commissions. Well, guess what, guys? I sold universal life and I've sold whole life. They basically pay the same. In fact, I even had better contracts with Universal Life than I had with Whole Life. The only reason that agents would make more with Whole Life is they give you the crappy Whole Life policies I told you about last month when I talked about that strategy I've been holding back on, right? Because you cut the cost down and you get paid less than Universal Life. So a lot less. So I know what they're saying, but the truth is that really in the end, they're all about the same. You know, especially with trails and renewals, you get paid more on Universal Life than you do on Whole Life over time too. So it's just, you know, do you get paid up front or you get paid over time? That's the real big question for insurance agents. So all these things that you hear, like the crappy stuff about whole life and the good stuff about universal life, the truth is that universal life is a term insurance policy that renews every year, gets more expensive every year, so your costs are going up every year. And if your returns don't go up too, if they stay minimal, you're in trouble, especially with index universal life. What if the market does like what it did in the 70s? The stock market was flat during the 70s. Imagine what would happen to those policies. They only pay 1%, but your costs keep going up every year. You're going to watch your cash flow go backwards, not forwards, but backwards. And when they bring up things like, hey, well, in the Great Depression, you would have made this much money. Well, the Great Depression is a bad example. One, because it was so extreme because the market tanked fast for 3 years. Two, it also came back up fast for several years to go back to where it was. Remember the whole average return thing? You lose 90%. You've got to gain 900% to get back to where you were before. Because, you know, when you lose 1/10 or you get down to 1/10, you got to have a 900% rate of return to get back to where you were. It's not like lose 90, you have to gain 90. Because think of this. You have $100,000, you lose 90%, you're down to $10,000. If you gain 90%, which most people think, oh, I just need to make 90%. No, if you make 90% on 10 grand, you're only at $19,000. You're still $89,000 shorter than you were. You got to make 900%. So when people just say like, well, in the Great Depression, this would have been a great strategy. Yeah, it would have. And how often has the Great Depression happened? For most of us, not even in our lifetimes, right? Even worse, the 1970s, which this may or may not happen. But if things go flat, that could be the worst case scenario when you're doing index type stuff. You would think it was the worst thing in the world. By the way, universal life insurance got popular, especially in the 1980s, because the market had done so poorly, nobody wanted to put money in the stock market back in the 1970s and 80s. It wasn't until the 401k became popular about 1985 that people started to stuff money in, and then they started seeing the market go up because people were investing in mutual funds. So it was kind of deceptive. It was kind of a interesting little prophecy they created, you know, self-fulfilling prophecy just by, you know, by the fact of whatever financial companies are trying to sell you. So anyways, that's the one of the biggest reasons about universal life. They get more expensive over time, and I've watched people in their 50s get to a point where it peaks, the cash value, the money that they earn peaks, and then it starts to decline because the costs are more than the returns in the policy. So that's the weakness. Now I get people to ask me about premium financing. They say, hey, what do you think about this? You know, there's different types of, you know, names that people give it to make it fancy, but basically premium financing is, especially if you have a certain net worth and you have a lot of extra cash and you're looking for a nice, I would say a nice 401k replacement, this could be a good strategy, and universal life could be, although you could do it with whole life too, universal life could be the strategy you use. Because what happens is that, say you put in $50,000 a year into this policy, well, the bank might add in another $200,000 a year. And let's say that they do that for 5 years. So the banks, you know, you put in $50,000, they put in, you know, $200,000, so $250,000 going in total. And you do that for 5 years, of course, the bank means they put in a total of $1 million. Now, you wait till about the 10th year, and then the 10th year, the bank says, hey, we want our money back plus interest. So you got to pay back over $1 million. Your hope is that after 10 years, you've got more than $1 million. If not, if the returns don't quite make it, you're in trouble. Because now you owe money. They tell you this too. They say, hey, there's a possibility you're going to have to pay money out of pocket extra if it doesn't perform well. So that's where there's some high risk there. Now, the hope is that the market returns better, right? And then obviously that you actually you pay them back in year 10, you let it grow, compound until 15, 20 years. Then you start pulling out a stream of income that's pretty nice. That maybe it could average like a 12 to 14% average rate of return. Now, for those of you on the show, like, you know, well, hey, well, I can make this at least that much with some of the things we've been talking about already, which is true. You know, in this case, it could be better, but it may not be. That's the hard thing is, like, I can't predict the future. I can't predict the stock market. You know, and I've had people show like some crazy, crazy numbers of what you could be earning. And yeah, it could be good if you got extra cash burning a hole in your pocket and you can wait 15, 20 years before you access the cash. But for those of us that say, hey, we want to create cash flow today, not a great option. It's going to take too long, and there's a few too many variables, and we might say, maybe not. So, I mean, that's the thing is that, you know, they try to use the same vehicle. They try to use universal life, you know, or index universal life and hope that things work out. Yeah, you could structure it to make lower costs and things like that and make it better, and there are ways to do that. And I've had a few clients where I looked over their universal life policy and said, you know what? This agent did as best as they could. And in some cases, I said, you know what? Keep it. This is a good policy. Other cases said the agent did as best as they could, and, well, it's not good enough. You know, so you got to be careful of that. And by the way, if you've had a universal life policy for the last several years, you've been spoiled. The market's done way better than the average, especially over the last 9 years. This is where people get lazy. This is where people think, oh, it's going to keep looking like this. I promise you, it will not look any better than what you've seen already if you've had a universal life policy for the last 5 or 10 years. This is the best it's probably looked almost ever in history because of the way it's been. We haven't seen the market do something like this where it's going up, 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 up for so many years. So yeah, of course the index universal life looks awesome. You've had this above average return in the market. You're, in a lot of cases, you've been peaking out, hitting your max returns, and then voila, you've got this magic policy. And I'm just here to tell you that that's not always the case. You know, in fact, it's rarely ever the case like this. You might be at the best point of your policy right now, in fact, depending on what the markets do next year, right? So anyways, that's the kind of thing here. So I'm not trying to poo-poo all over universal life, say they're always bad. I'm just telling you that in a lot of cases, they're just not the best. You know, they could be good, but they're not, you know, it's like a good, better, best scenario, right? You can do good, there's better, and there's best. They are usually not the best thing you could be doing, but in some rare cases, they could be. So if you have questions, say, hey, Chris, like, I'm not sure. Like, I've got a policy, or somebody's been trying to pitch me on this policy. Here's the numbers they've been showing me. You know, shoot those over. Email those over to me, and we can always have a conversation, take a look, and see what it looks like. You can always just shoot me an email, Chris, that's C-H-R-I-S, at moneyripples.com. That's M-O-N-E-Y-R-I-P-P-L-E-S.com. So, you know, ask. Let's find out. You know, it could be good, may not be. To me, I don't care. You know, either way, I just want it. The thing I do care about is that it's you're getting the best thing you could possibly get. You know, if it is, I'll tell you. If it's not, I'll also tell you. So I'll be frank with you. In any case, guys, I hope this was useful. I hope it was educational. I will put that Wall Street Journal, link, I will put that into the notes here so you have that so you can read the article for yourself about what they said about universal life policies blowing up right now for those people that are getting older. But in any case, you guys, I hope you have a wonderful and prosperous week. And we'll see you later.
Thanks for listening to The Chris Miles Money Show. Don't forget to subscribe to us on iTunes and make us a part of your daily routine. And check out our blogs and learn more about Chris, his services, and how we can help you at moneyripples.com. Join us next time on The Chris Miles Money Show.